Hey everybody, welcome to Tool Jam. I'm your host, Jeremy Foster, and I'm going to be facilitating a conversation with Bryce Johnson all about inclusive design. So there's a lot of information in Bryce's head. We're gonna get it into your heads, so hang tight. Bryce, how you doing?
I'm good.
Awesome. Can you tell the audience about yourself, who you are, what you do?
Yeah, I'm Bryce, and I'm a designer at Xbox, and I focus on applying Microsoft's inclusive design practice to gaming.
Great. All right. So Microsoft's inclusive design practice, what is that?
Well, so when we think about inclusive design, let me sort of take a step back. And I think when people normally think about people with disabilities, they think about things like personal health conditions, like I happen to have cerebral palsy. But it's important to remember that cerebral palsy is not a disability, it's a health condition. And to get that kind of idea across, the idea is that in 2014, the World Health Organization changed its definition of disability from a personal health condition to a mismatch of interactions. So what that sort of means is that it isn't about the health condition, it's about the environment that people come across. So to give you a more kind of concrete example, the wheelchair doesn't make the building inaccessible, the stairs do.
Oh, interesting.
So what that means for us as like creators and designers is that it's important for us to realize that disability is actually designed, that in the things that if we do not intentionally include people of all abilities, we are actually creating disability.
Interesting. Okay, so it's a mismatch of the person and the experience that they're trying to have. How does this apply to the world of gaming?
Well, I think when we traditionally think about accessibility, we think about removing barriers. And the trick is with gaming is that obviously gaming is about the barriers and the challenges are part of the fun. So we don't really want to necessarily eliminate barriers, but we want to fine-tune barriers to people's abilities. We want to make sure that people can play. If a barrier is insurmountable, that's not fun, that's just frustrating.
Yeah, right. Can you give us an example of that?
Well, I think some basic examples that are very traditional in the gaming industry are things like not using red and green colors to differentiate elements, so people who are colorblind can't necessarily see things. Or if you have game dialogue that does not have subtitles and it's conveying information, you're basically limiting people who are hard of hearing from being able to access that content.
Okay, so for instance, if I've got some sort of a top-down game and I've got little soldiers or minions or something and they're running around and I decide as a game, as a developer, hey, this looks good, I'm gonna have this team be red and I'll just kind of build that into the code and this one will be green, I've essentially carved out a section of my potential audience and I've really done a disservice to myself as the developer by reducing my audience, and I've also done a disservice to them because they're not really going to be able to engage in the game because they can't differentiate well enough between green and red.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, the classic example of this is when King first came out with Candy Crush. You know, there was a lot of color, there was a lot of using only color to differentiate elements.
Oh, I see.
And they fixed that, and now their game is much more accessible to people.
Okay, now you said only color, so that maybe alludes to some strategies on using multiple ways of differentiating things to allow people with, you know, maybe one person has color blindness, but another person has difficulty reading.
Right.
And so you include both of those, and now you've included both of those audiences. Is that the way we should think?
I mean, absolutely. I think it's just about thinking about multiple facets of how we display and present information, and to have something that'll catch someone's ability. So in the case of King, they added shape, as well as color.
Okay. Now, you were talking to me earlier about game mechanics and making game mechanics inclusive. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, I think a really good example of a game mechanic, which is very hard for people with limited dexterity, is a QuickTime event.
Okay.
So, like in Tomb Raider, when you have to hit A at a certain point or X at a certain point.
Oh, yeah, I've done that.
So when you have limited dexterity, I'm going to give you like kind of an example. Imagine like if A was on your controller and X was on the floor and Y was on the ceiling you had to try to hit all those buttons. Now, it might seem like a silly kind of example, but for people with mobility impairments, that is actually kind of real. So the way that we can tackle a QuickTime event to make it more inclusive is we can make them smart. So the first time you fail, it gets progressively easier by doing things like you can increase the time for the QuickTime event. You could reduce the configuration of buttons. Maybe it's just a single button that needs to be pressed. And maybe if you fail enough, they'll just let you skip the event.
It's interesting that you posed these disabilities, or what, you know, we've used the term disability, and you're defining them as barriers. Mm-hmm. And then you said that in the gaming world, this thing that is normally an unfortunate circumstance,
right,
this thing that we wish wasn't there and we're going to have to design around it, is part of the fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so if I'm making games, should I I'm strategically coming across, I mean, I'm designing barriers into my game anyway, right? I'm mm-hmm. trying to make people shoot at you, and I'm trying to make people run into you, and you're trying to avoid that. That's the whole point of the game, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really just about being cognizant about people's abilities and kind of understanding that you're not the audience in a way, that yeah. you're more than that. There's actually a quote that I have that's really always inspired me. It's from Satoru Iwata from the GDC keynote mm-hmm. That he gave in 2005. I'm just going to read it. It says, I'm most concerned with what we think of as a gamer. As we spend more time and money chasing exactly the same players, who are we leaving behind? Are we creating games just for each other? Do you have friends and family members who do not play games? Well, why don't they? And I would ask you this, have you challenged yourself to create a game that you might not play?
Oh, wow, that sounds hard.
Yeah, but I think it's something we all can kind of do, right? I think it's we can think about putting ourselves in someone else's position.
Yeah.
We can all get into situations that allow us to do that. And one of the things that we have in our practice is this idea of the persona spectrum, which is that people's abilities sometimes are permanent, they're temporary, or they're situational.
Okay.
So let me give you kind of an example of that. If a permanent condition would be like, I'm an amputee, I only have one arm. Mm-hmm. A temporary but sort of equivalent condition of that is that I happen to be in a sling. I've broken my arm, I can't use it.
Okay.
And then the situational version of that, the situational impairment, is I'm holding a baby. Obviously, if I'm holding a baby, that arm is being used.
Yeah.
So I'm one-handed.
Yeah. Oh, that hits home. Great. Well, is there any other advice that you have to the people here at Tool Jam that are trying to make games and they're considering this aspect that maybe they weren't considering before? How do I make my game inclusive? How do I make it accessible? How do I bring that thought process into my development?
I would honestly, the IGDA puts out, or members of the IGDA, the International Game Developers Association, puts out a list of gaming accessibility guidelines.
Oh, good.
So if you search for gaming accessibility guidelines, there's some really great tips in there. I would love to see some tools come out of Tool Jam that help make it easier for developers to make their games more accessible.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Bryce. It's been great talking to you. I'm actually really encouraged to know that we have people like yourself that specialize not just in inclusive design or in gaming, but in the convergence of the two. That's really a great thing.
Yeah, so. Great. It's super awesome.
Have fun at Tool Jam.
Thanks.
See ya.